Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Well, hello, everybody. Hi, Dr. Art.
Hello, Dr. Chris. Good to see you all in red and looking very peachy here.
Well, I've got my bells on. Good to see you. And hello, audience. We're so happy to be here with you. Yeah. If you're new to the New Reality Solutions Show, we are committed to helping people through these tough times with stress, anxiety, PTSD, changing beliefs, having better life in all avenues, mind, body, and spirit. We both practice privately with clients, and we felt that the world is in such a state that people need help. We can't get to everybody unless we do a show like this. So this is our baby. And so I want to thank our subscribers who are helping us to keep the lights on. If you like the show, you get value out of it and you'd like to be a subscriber, you can click on the link on our show page. And Thomas is showing that if you are watching, and subscribe to our show at any amount starting at $2.99. Meanwhile, we have an incredible guest tonight. We're very, very excited. Dr. Jacqueline Del Rosario. She is a celebrated master about relationships. And so she is the author of the book, The Marriage Blueprint. And we're going to get a lot of great answers from her, we hope, for you. And she has a free gift to give you afterwards. Dr. Art, I have opened, but I want you to be able to welcome everybody too. So I tend to hog the stage sometimes.
Please. Oh, no, not at all. This, yes, welcome everybody out in radio TV land. We are glad to be with you again. This is, we're plunging off into our second 6 months of operation with this program. And we're just happy to be able to bring you wonderful guest speakers and topics that are of interest to people to make your life better, make the world a gentler, kinder, better place to live.
Absolutely. And more happiness within. Yes. This is a live talk show, and you can call in. And Thomas, if you'd put the numbers on the screen, if you would like to call and ask our guest or ourselves anything, you can dial direct in the U.S. 1-888-627-6008. If you are outside the U.S., you can dial direct at 1-323-744-4831. So with that, Dr. Art, now that we've taken care of all the business, yes, I would love to hear your tip of the week.
Oh, me too. Let's hear what it's going to be here. So in keeping with my one word tip label, the word for the tip this week is ecology. Hmm. In NLP, ecology is the study of consequences. And so it's interested in the results of all the changes that might occur as a result of an intervention that we're making with a client, and to make sure that if the client hasn't tested out the ecology, that we certainly help them do that. And since we're still in January and people are still making some New Year's resolutions, it'd be a good idea to check them for ecology. Now, the way you do that is you check three areas. What we ask is this change that is getting ready to be made, is this good for the person? And normally that's pretty much of a no-brainer. Yeah, it's good, or they wouldn't want it if it weren't. The second one, maybe not quite so obvious, is it good for their family, their friends, maybe their business, and everybody that they care about, including all the way up to society? And the third one, is it good for the planet? And if you pass all three of those ecology tests, you probably have an ecological solution to this problem. You could also go at it with time if you wanted to use that instead and say, is it good right now? Is it good in the near term? And is it good long term? So you can test it that way also. But please apply these three tests and make sure that whatever changes you're making in your life or someone else's life, meet these ecological tests, because sometimes they can really surprise you when the solution you're after fails one of these tests and you think, oh my gosh, I'm glad I checked, because I was almost going to make a mistake. So ecology.
Very good. Sometimes we do barrel through and just think, well, I'm going to set this goal and I'm going to achieve it no matter what. And we're not looking at left or right. And that can be non-ecologic.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, great. Well, now comes one of the best parts of our show, is when we welcome our guest. And so I would like to read this amazing bio here of Dr. Del Rosario. Dr. Jackie's meteoric rise onto the relationship and marriage space has deemed her America's marriage coach. Her magnetic appeal captures audiences with her practical solutions to relatable issues. Dr. Jackie's mantra derives from the idea that the foundation of any society starts in the individual homes of people. How true. For the past 20 years, the doctor has evangelized couples everywhere with her philosophy of the seven pillars of compatibility. She has engineered a host of tools to cultivate the skills for healthy relationships and marriage curricula, the Marriage University, the Best Marriage Keys, the Compatibility Quiz, conferences and intensive trainings that provide the skill-based learning that shifts trajectories. Dr. Jackie is regularly featured on morning shows and news segments on networks like Fox, KTLA, CNN, GWN, Hallmark, ABC, and NBC affiliates, TV One, Bravo, and Huffington Post. She has graced the pages of Bloomberg, Newsweek, and showed off her skills on an episode of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Jackie's uncanny way of hearing what you didn't say and seeing what's obscure or seeing what's not obvious has helped her build a solid practice working with couples and singles across the country. As an educator and/or advocate, counselor, and visionary, Dr. Jackie holds a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, a Master's and Doctorate in Education, with an emphasis on conflict resolution and curriculum development. These skills have helped her shape the tools that have affected change in both areas of her work. She continues to light a path towards an enriched life and resides in Miami, Florida, yay, Florida,
yay.
With her husband of over 25 years and two sons. Dr. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Listen, thanks for having me, Dr. Art and Dr. Christina. It's a pleasure to be here with you tonight.
Sure. Awesome. Awesome. Well, we have a bunch of questions and we hope you have a bunch of answers.
Yeah, I hope that I say what people have been asking about, because, you know, there's something that's beautiful when you've already had in your mind these things that you would love to know the answer to. And then you happen to grace some sort of a situation where someone is answering those very questions. That's our hope for tonight.
That's
that
great.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we could start with, you know, what inspired you to go into this field and to really make it your focus?
I share the story about my life. The awakening is what I would call it. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I remember being awakened in the middle of the night to a sound that was very new to me, but it was life altering. So I heard someone cry, but it wasn't like a cry, I fell and hurt myself, you know, I fell from my bike. I understood at that young age that that was a cry of a deep heartfelt pain. And I couldn't even determine whose voice it was. And as I listened longer, I realized that it was the sound of my mother's voice. We rise or fall in a good or a bad relationship. And the unfortunate thing is that in all relationships, whether they're good or bad, we have to learn how to deal with conflict and how to resolve issues. Now, we know that 69% of the issues in a relationship are never resolved. Mm-hmm. It's a really big indicator as to why we have so many issues. And so I made it my lifelong pursuit to understand how to master relationships, whether they were romantic, interpersonal, or even professional. And I think we'll be able to talk about relationships on that particular arc from personal, romantic, to even professional.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, so on that note, what do you find? You said 69%. That is huge.
That is.
And I remember when I was going through 12-step programs, recovering from an eating disorder and understanding dysfunctional families and dysfunctional relationships, the fact of how people cubbyhole, we called it cubbyholing resentments, and then they explode when you've had enough. You kind of take it and take it and take it. So maybe talk about how you get couples, and then Dr. Art, it's your turn. How do you get couples and families to come clean with what's really going on? Maybe we could start there.
Yeah, I think that's a good starting place. If the question's for me,
what I notice
is that there's really two different types of people, right? So we have those that are very direct, and then we have those that are more passive aggressive. And I find that it really deals with our tolerance for truth. And I looked at something that was really kind of unique. I discovered that really it's about our perspective, isn't it? So often, a lot of times, people that are more passive aggressive believe that kindness substitutes for, you know, the blatant truth. We believe that you need a little bit of a filter and, you know, you got to give just enough truth for people to be comfortable. Whereas people that are what I call direct speakers or direct communicators are usually people that are very comfortable with emotions and they love truth. As a matter of fact, truth tends to be a part of the construct of their love language. Mm-hmm. They need truth to feel safe in a relationship. And so I feel getting people to understand who they really are as they come to these different aspects of the relationship is really helpful. So if I know that you are passive aggressive and I know that you have a tendency to shut down or to not share blatantly, honestly, what's really happening. You're going to sugarcoat it and tell me maybe half the time there's nothing wrong when there really is. It gives me an ability now, or it increases my EQ, you know, my intellectual and emotional intelligence quotient to be able to approach that conversation a little differently because now I know the person on the other end of the conversation. You understand what I mean, Dr. Art?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Because I know that that's how you are. I'm going to have a greater sense of sensitivity and a greater awareness about how you're going to broach this subject. And so I'm going to factor that in into the way that I even approach you to broach the subject. So I would say that families need to know who they are. What is their makeup? What is your constitution as it relates to discussing hard topics? And share that so that each member understands who they're relating to, and then even help people to know what helps you to open up or to feel comfortable enough to really discuss at a very honest level and open level.
And do you have some assessments that couples can use to help them understand themselves and what kind of person they are and all that would help them as well as help you?
Mm-hmm. There's so many different assessments that you can use. Kabachnik Group out of New York does a plethora of relationship assessments. They're quite expensive. So, you know, when you're in your practice, you have to, you know, kind of figure out what people are comfortable doing because they're really good assessments that give you nice profiles and very comprehensive information, not only about just your general makeup, but how that changes in various settings, I think is just invaluable. But
under stress or something,
Or how you handle communication, how you tend to handle if you're in a difficult situation, how you handle professional issues. I love profiles that are very comprehensive that kind of give you an idea because I'm different. I'm Jackie in my practice. I'm Jackie differently in my two businesses. And then I'm a different Jackie as mom and yet a different Jackie as wife.
As a wife, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I've been married for over 60 years now, so I don't know how many people
I am. Oh, my God.
I'm just waiting.
You're around with the dinosaurs now, Dr. Art.
I taught the dinosaurs how to get along. I really did.
That's right. You probably know where some skeletons are hidden, right? For real.
Amazing. So I have a question here that I wanted to ask you of. How to get the kind of relationship you want. You know, I think we've had 2 years of isolation. We've got people who are longing to have a connection with others. And we really want it more than just on Zoom. And I think the world is starting to come out of it. How do you go about getting the kind of relationship you want?
I think it starts with, first of all, knowing with specificity, what is it that you want and why? Mm-hmm. And so there is something to knowing what your needs are versus your wants. So there are things that I need in a relationship. And my motto is that you deal with what you need first before what you want. But knowing that gives you now the ability to create a blueprint, right? And what I find is that so many couples say, I just want to be happy. Well, it's important that you know what makes you happy and what you need in that relationship from the other individual. And then also the ability to know what's practical and what is not. Because some of the things that we say that we want, we make someone else's responsibility when they're really it's really your responsibility. Yes. Case in point, no one should be charged with making you happy. You need to bring your own happy to the relationship. I don't want that to be my responsibility. And then also knowing what's impractical. Like we are physiologically different. We are different in so many different ways. Women are much more communicative in most instances. We have 3 to 5 language centers. Men have 1 to 2. And so knowing that, you know, they're going to need the cliff notes. They don't want you, when they say, how was your day? Right. They don't want you to sit down and say, and then she said, and then I said, and then so-and-so. They really want to know just how you're doing. Your girlfriend's for that. Or maybe your pal, you know, what you call your work husband is maybe the person that's going to be better able to sit and go through, you know, all of that information. And so I think that just being very specific about what you want. Number two, Dr. Art, I feel that we have to recognize that we're always in the process of evolving, right? So it's like in your relationship, once you get things right, you've already become somebody different. We are no longer who we were last year. And so this whole notion about what I need in a relationship or the relationship that I want is something that we must continue to build over a lifetime, the relationship. Mm-hmm. Because what I needed and wanted, you know, 10 years ago is obsolete now. I need something very different now. And I might have wanted that passion and, you know, those sexual exploits. I still want those, right? But not for the same reasons, you know. It's just,
there's not, some not other every day anymore, kind of, right?
There you go.
What do you think of the 5 love languages? This book is very popular, and I know that people have gotten some interesting insights about themselves from that. Does that fit in with your models at all?
It does, but I warn people because to me, a lot of times your love languages also might change. I know for me, mine change frequently. It depends on where I am and what I need out of my life at the moment.
Okay.
But generally, my love language is definitely, you know, gifts and, you know, and I mean, I know what my general one is, but sometimes it will go down a notch and maybe my...
Something else will come up in it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the best thing that I try to tell people is we have just this habit of always doing for people and giving people what we want. And in a relationship, we just have to think differently that it's important that we give people what they want. If I love chocolate, don't give me vanilla because it's your favorite.
Yeah, exactly. I used to call this with my coaching clients. I still do, actually, that the wife is talking ABC and the husband's wanting to be loved with XYZ, you know.
I love
it's
that.
It's just, yeah, it's 2 different languages. And so you got to get it clear. And I love that you reiterate about, you know, no one else makes you happy. You got to bring your own happy. I think that is such a cause of breakups. But, you know, one thing that is really challenging is, you know, our needs do change from time to time, and our vision of what is right for us in a relationship. How do you help a couple where they're growing in different directions and it's obvious that they can't give each other what it is that they need, then staying together may not actually be the solution?
Well, you know, I'd like to start with prevention first. And I think that teaching couples this notion about intentionality is really important. How did they get to opposite ends, right? It started at some point. And I just feel a lot of times people just think that you're just going to be in love and love just leads you wherever. No, you need to be intentional about the things that keep you cemented together, the things that keep you cohesive and unified, because it just takes not being mindful of those things to just wake up 2-3 years later. And it's like, you're just, you know, on opposite ends. Yeah. And so when those things happen, this is what I believe. That if you really want to fix it, you can fix it. I think that there's a resolve for any problem basically on the planet when there are two people that are committed to fixing it. And so that means that there might be some sort of sacrifices that need to be made. But if there's a will, there definitely is a way if they are committed and they feel that they value the relationship enough to do it. Because what are we talking about that usually changes us so that we become on opposite ends, right? It's usually life has gotten in the way. It's usually some of our career choices and other choices like that that have kind of taken us out of pocket. And so it's just a matter of deciding, what do you really want? And then working towards that. Listen, I tell couples all the time, either way you look at it, you cannot cheat life, right? We get a paycheck because we put in work. So whether you want to divorce or stay together, either way, it's going to cost you work. The only difference is, if I work to make it over the hump of my disagreements or our issues in our relationship, I have a prize at the end because we're going to stay together. But I'm also going to work a lot for us to break apart. Because let me tell you something, divorce is tantamount to a death, right? And so we know that there's a lot of very arduous work that's going to go into that, but there's no prize at the end. You know, you're split in half and you're, you know, sharing custody. And so either way, just know that this is the way of the world. We can talk about Nala and Simba all we want. That's a fairy tale. And the real world, people have to work for what they have. And you have to work to make relationships great. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just a matter of what is your end game? What do you want here? Do you want to be together? Or do you not mind the lifestyle of someone that now has a broken family? And I'm saying this from both perspectives, from, you know, the male and the female, the husband and the wife, or the partner and the other partners. You just have to decide and then work together at making those things happen. But it just seems now, as we look at the research, what we do know is that marriage, our traditional marriage, is becoming less and less significant in today's generation. Millennials are, you know, I think that the percentage was somewhere near almost 75% cohabitate. We can look at the rise in, you know, single child birth, single parent births. You know, people are not finding it necessary to necessarily get married. They're building their families and they're going about their lives. The question at the end of the day is, what is it that you really want? Let's shoot for that. And let's stop making makeshift marriages because we're afraid of it, because we've not mastered the skill set to negotiate it properly. So because people are afraid, they're just coming up with these makeshift. It's marriage without the word.
Yeah.
And when you break up, it's the same as a divorce without the word. And with that, I'm going to drop the mic.
Yeah. do people seek you out because their relationship is already in pretty severe trouble? Or do they come to you and say, we got a great marriage, but we want it to be even greater? So help us do that. What do you get a lot of
I have both. I have people that use me for maintenance. You know, I believe just like you check up your car, you tune up your car every year, right. You go to the doctor and do your annual physical. I think you should do the same for your relationship. How do you keep a good thing going well? You got to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And so I have couples that, you know, they've hit a rough patch. So throughout the year, they might have hit some area where they're in an impasse. Dr. Jackie, you know, and so then we work through those things. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the people that are starting to experience difficulty and are starting to question, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it or not? Mm-hmm. And so then they call me in. And then I have a few clients that call me when it's really pretty much heading to divorce, unless we're able to save it.
I just need to do a station break for if anybody new has joined us. This is the New Reality Solutions Show, and we are speaking with Dr. Jacqueline Del Rosario, a marriage and relationship expert. We're thrilled to have her on. This is a call-in live talk show, so if you have any questions for our guest or for us, you can call in from the United States toll-free 888-627-6008, or you can dial direct if you're outside the U.S. at 1-323-744-4831. And we also are now on Apple iTunes, and so I'm pretty excited. We're now in so many affiliate stations. We didn't even realize it until yesterday, Dr. Art, quite how many places have picked up our show. So we're very excited. So thank you, viewers. Thank you, subscribers. And we'll continue with our show. But I just wanted you to know, if you just tuned in, who we are. I'm Dr. Christina Winsey. This is Dr. Art Emmerich. And we're all about solutions for your life. So with that, we can continue. Dr. Art, you had a question for Jackie.
Yeah, there was a marriage counselor who said the first question that they ask is this marriage worth saving? And to get the people to commit, are you here to let me help you separate as friends? Or are you here to really make sure that this marriage survives? And Do you ever wonder about that when you start off with some couple, where they headed?
That's a really good question. But really what I do is I just kind of give them the lay of the land to make them understand what my process looks like. Mm-hmm. And to just tell them, because you know what they really want, for me to tell them, the mate, that he's or she is wrong and that they're right. So we just kind of deal with that up front so that they understand what the expectations are, and I gauge their level of accountability. What level of accountability do you want from our session?
Okay.
And surely, if it's one of those situations where you can see that they're distraught, if they're wanting to work towards the marriage, but usually they tell you within the first few moments of a session, mm-hmm. you know, what their intentions are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many times have you had perhaps a woman come to you who's in an abusive relationship, and how can you help someone who really wants to get out? That's just so difficult.
It is, because it takes them many tries usually before they successfully leave. So I've had two clients, and one it was very difficult to tell her because she just had no idea. It's like, you know, the more I spoke to her, I had to wait, though, until she was able to divulge information that made it very apparent to her. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to wait until I suspected already, but I had to wait until she shared information that gave that perspective to her. And then once she began to question that and kind of accept, like, you know, yeah, this isn't right, then it just became, you know, one step after the other until she was able to actually separate from him. Mm-hmm. The other individual also recognized that the relationship was abusive, but just wasn't ready to leave yet. I think she just really felt like she just wanted to try extra hard to make sure that she's, you know, done everything in her power to save the relationship. She just didn't want to get divorced. Mm-hmm. I think in her family, everyone had been divorced, and she was trying to break that cycle and be the first. Yeah. One.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I shared with her, you still are breaking a cycle if you have a healthy relationship, because forget about marriage or divorce. None of the people in your family have had healthy relationships. So that is breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
So that helped her.
For sure. So So we have a wide variety of listeners, and we don't really know all of their individual needs. If you were to give, I know you have your five, the free giveaway that you're going to have at the end, but if you were going to give maybe the top tips to what people can do at home to assess their relationship and to kind of, you know, really figure out what do I want? Is that part of the handout that you're giving? Or I know you have quizzes and things like that.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not exactly it. But there's some information there that I think would help to get them thinking that way. I think we need to, first of all, start with what is it that makes us happy and what is it that we need to be happy? Mm-hmm. And you'll find that all of those answers are not going to lead you directly to your partner. And some of those things might be things that you have to do. You have to kick the ball, you know, back into your own court. And you might have to do things that are for your own good. But it starts with that. Mm-hmm. Asking yourself powerful questions. You know, I really believe that a lot of times you tell people what to do. And sometimes the strategies are so simple that they almost don't believe that they're going to be effectual. But asking the right question is one of the most powerful things, because the brain is so incredible. You ask yourself a question and your brain goes searching for the answer until it lands on it. And this is why self-reflection is so critical, because as we sit in the day to debrief, you know, we kind of defrag our computer, if you will, when we're able to just reflect on our day or reflect over our lives or reflect over if it was a disagreement that you had. You'd be surprised when you start to ask yourself questions, how your brain will actually give you the answers that you need to help you to course correct or to help you to fill in the blanks.
You're totally preaching to the choir. Dr. Art and I are so devoted to helping people understand that 95% of what runs us is the subconscious mind. And the quality of, as I think it's Tony Robbins who says, the quality of the answers you get depends on the quality of the questions that you ask. He may not have originated it, but it really is the truth. And
I think
powerful.
That when we're working on ourselves, we really come to the relationship with better ingredients, better building blocks to build something wonderful. And so, again, talking about the subconscious mind, to me, is also critical, because that's where a lot of our knee-jerk reactions come from. Mm-hmm. Those behaviors that are detrimental to our relationships. And we keep pointing the finger about, it's you, but there's three more fingers pointing back at us. And a lot of times, in order to fix some of those things, the repair comes as we're able to reprogram or rewrite over our hard drive. When does this happen? This happens really when we're able to now go back and morph our subconscious mind. I don't know if you agree, doctors, but that's what I find to be very helpful. Yeah. We have a conference that's coming up. As a matter of fact, I would like to invite your viewers and listeners. We're doing a marriage boot camp in Orlando, Florida, mm-hmm. and it'll be May the 13th through the 15th. And every year I have a topic. So last year we dealt with traumas and just showing how traumas impact you at the subconscious level, so that you're triggered by things. And then before you know it, you're acting out and you're not even aware. But this year, this is the saying that came to me. You're living out of a suitcase of fear and it's time to unpack it. Mm. And so a lot of the sessions that I'm going to be dealing with are going to help people to recognize how to impact that subconscious mind and how to retarget or erase a lot of the fear factors that are really driving us. They have become your drivers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a long time, it seemed like my experience was that there were many, many, many women who felt like they were an economic hostage to marriage. They said, you know, I'd leave in a second, except that I don't have a job. I've never trained to work. I've got to pay rent. I've got to buy food. And I can't do that. So I will put up with a lot of junk in order to have my financial needs met. Here I get mm-hmm. food, shelter, and clothing, and you know, and I that's about all, and I get a lot of abuse to go along with it. Do you see as much of that anymore? I think women have become much more career oriented and able to financially take care of themselves. Like 20 years ago, it's night and day from the way it is right now. So do you notice a lot of the economic issues coming up?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, for Latinos and women of color, in the next 4 to 5 years, more than 70% of us are supposed to out earn our partners. And so that's another fact for us to really keep in mind, because we're looking at what graduation rates are like, and college goers, post-secondary, it's filled with women. And we know that more women go to college and more women finish. Fewer males that do go don't often graduate. So those are factors. So yes, women are definitely making their way. I always have this little slogan, doctor. I say, you know, I can bring home the bacon and fry it up in my Teflon pan that I ordered on Amazon. Yeah.
Go, 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 woman.
I am woman. Hear me roar.
That's right. Roar. That's right. I have sung that song many times. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I have so many questions that we wrote down, and some of them had to do with the holidays, which are past. But we do have Valentine's Day coming up. And I'm wondering if you have some advice for people who are going to be alone on Valentine's Day, how they might deal with maybe some regrets, how they might learn from past relationships and how they've ended up where they are, and that it's not the end. And, you know, maybe some encouragement for people as we move into the Valentine holiday.
You know, I'll start with just this little short anecdote, right? I remember when I started my corporation, it's a charitable work. I write curricula that are used in school districts around the country. And we work with underserved populations, couples. We have a suite of programs that take you through pre-K all the way to middle age. Long and short, you know, it took a lot to start the company. And I remember thinking about Christmas coming. I have two little small kids under the age of 4 and 5. And being upset because I couldn't afford Christmas gifts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it occurred to me, what is the holiday really all about? It's about giving and loving on others. And so I never taught my kids, you know, that it's about getting gifts. Instead, we went to soup kitchens, we fed the poor, and we made that holiday into something that was valuable. Take away the thing from the holiday that is hurting you or causing you to be down and sad. I was never sad again around Christmas, regardless of what our financial status was at the time. Valentine's Day is about love. It's time to love yourself. You don't need permission, or you don't need anyone else to love you or to show you any special treatment on Valentine's Day. Show yourself how important you are. Love yourself. And I think that the best gift that you can give yourself is when you learn to love, first of all, know who you are, and then love that person that's staring back at you in the mirror. And so that would be the best advice that I would give. Number two, I would say, if you're really wanting to get married, I believe that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So if you don't want to see another Valentine's Day go by and you're, you know, and you're lonesome, it's time to get ready, get fit for marriage. And so you need to figure out, you know, you're wanting this wonderful person, this wonderful partner. Guess what? They're also praying for a wonderful partner too. So how do you make yourself into that wonderful person? If you know that you've heard people say the same thing in relationships in the past about you, you don't listen. You know, you can never be wrong. You never know how to say sorry. Can we fix it so that we don't shipwreck another good relationship?
I love it. I love it. It's right. Kind of a come to Jesus talk, isn't it?
Yes, it is. and Jesus is talking. Are you listening?
Yeah, that's the question. Wow, that's awesome. And I love your story about the Christmas and getting started, but mostly, yeah, there's just so much emphasis on things and outer, and it's taken a lot of the soul away from holidays and from what's really valuable in life.
And I think let's not forget that it was retailers that created these holidays so that they can push their products and increase sales.
Yes.
And you know what's so wonderful is that we're helping to populate the planet with wonderful people with beautiful souls. My son was in middle school, worked all of these odd jobs, started his own business. For what? So that he had enough money to buy presents for people that he loved and that were important to him. And all he wanted to do was see them open those gifts. I think that we can redeem, we can take back, you know, the real meaning that we ought to have. Because there's so many people sad because they can't participate the way that they're traditionally thought that they need to participate in these holidays. Listen, people are just now starting to pay off a part of their bills. And now in a few days, it'll be February. And then they'll be getting themselves back into spending again for that holiday. Then there's Mother's Day, Father's Day, Easter, you know. There's so many things, but I tell you, what there's not enough of is there's not enough love, Dr. Christina. Dr. Art, there's not enough love. When we are as a nation so divided and we've forgotten humanity and that we still are our brother's keepers, that we still love the fact that we are of the human race.
Yes.
And that even though we might not be born from the same egg, you know, we are human beings and we've forgotten how to love and care for one another.
Yes.
And I think the pandemic has really helped. It's added fuel to that fire.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Wow.
I have a term here that I don't understand. Cuffing season. What is that all about?
Oh, cuffing season. That's what happens in the winter when people are knowing that they have to hunker down and be locked inside during those frigid temperatures. They don't want to be alone too much because they're already going to be locked inside. So what do? They look for Mr. or Mrs. Good Enough. In other words, they're settling for somebody just to ride out the long winter with.
There you go,
a warm body. So these are short relationships that really usually don't have the substance or the staying power. Hmm. It's just to get me through this winter. But wow, when springtime comes, I'm off and running.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm in the opposite direction. Yeah. I'm out of here. So, in short, that is cuffing season.
Okay, I see. I've never heard that term before. That's really interesting.
Yeah, me either. But yeah, you know, I think because there are people who are so scared of being alone, they will take whatever comes along. And not really give it much thought, like you said, so important, know what you want. And I mean, if we talked about the law of attraction, when you are loving yourself, when you are emitting love, when you are the vibration of love, and you know what you want, the universe can bring it to you. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's,
mm-hmm. Well,
that's absolutely it.
Let me say, I have more than one client, attractive single women who are complaining that I've been to every dating website on the market, all the way from It's Just Lunch to, you know, the whole works. And I cannot find anybody. I go out and they want to interview me. You know, it's not like a date. They got this list of 12 questions they want me to answer. And I am so tired of that. And now I'm deciding that the reason that I don't find anybody is my standards are too high. What would you say about that? Is that likely?
You need to figure out, you got to discern if it's true or not, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, only you would know. And so you have to, you know, kind of have a sounding board, because there's some things that women want or men want that I think is ludicrous. Oh, I want my soulmate, somebody that completes my sentence. Well, is that really realistic?
Is
that what makes up a great person for you? Mm. You know, is that important? You know, I ask people to make a list of their top 10 things that they need in a relationship, and I ask them to put it in chronological order. And what I find is if you have the top five, those are usually your non-negotiables. You have to have those things. And then once you get to 6, 7, 8, and 9, they're less important, but they're still pretty important. But usually you're going to have all of those things that are on that list. And if you do not, then you have to be upfront and recognize, what are you giving up? Because you're compromising on not having that particular item. And I think you have to know, I'm going to start like this, Dr. Art. I think that most of the time we marry potential. We're dating someone. They tell us what they're going to do in the future, what kind of job, what kind of business they're going to start, what kind of house they're going to have, what kind of family. And we marry that. And that's the reason why a lot of people are very upset right now, because 5 years, 10 years in, they don't see it.
It didn't work. Yeah.
It hasn't materialized. And so they're talking to their mate from that angst, from a seething, because this is not what they signed up for. This is not that person that I bought. You know, you're not that person yet. And my best advice is, do not marry potential, because potential is just that, potential. What's guaranteed is who they are right now. If you can say yes to what they are right now, it's a go. Then everything on top of that is icing, right? But if not, what happens is you begin to be judgmental. And there's something about judging someone and being critical. Even though your words might be seasoned well with sweetness, it's almost as if it's like a vibration. It's some sort of an aura that you put off that they can understand that you're criticizing them. Mm-hmm. And what do we know about when we criticize someone? They guard up more than a defense city. Yeah. And so like, if it's like you're saying, oh, babes, you know, you put on a lot of weight, you know, I'm not really attracted to you. Can you work out? I'll work out with you. Let's, you know, lose weight. Chances are they are not going to lose weight. They're probably going to get bigger because they feel the criticism. What do we all long for? We want to be just accepted and loved like how we love our children unconditionally.
Yes.
And then I feel that when you don't have those restrictions on people, they're able to really become who they need to be and who they want to be. But there's something about that judgment that's almost like putting a handcuff or a glass ceiling on them. They're unable to grow outside of that expectation. Yeah. That criticism, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely. That makes total sense. And I know when I was younger and dealing with the eating disorder, I had another 50 pounds on me. And I cringed if my boyfriend would say anything about my weight. You know, it was just so painful. So I think that is a very common theme. I know I see it in my clients quite frequently because I do work with women with binge eating disorders and things of that nature. There's another thing here that we had as one of the questions of how to deal with family dysfunction. And after that, it says we can pack away and now we are back to square one. And I'm not sure if I miswrote that or is that one of the questions that I guess it's really just about how to deal with family dysfunction. And that's a very broad topic.
It is. But, I was going to say that. It's far too broad for me.
It is broad. What if, let's put it into a package here. What if a couple is doing their best to preserve the relationship, but the family dynamics, you see, you don't marry a person, you marry their family.
They're the family. Yes,
so
agree.
How does a couple deal with it's hard enough to all the things that you are, the reason you're here, Dr. Jackie, not on this show, but in the world, the reason you're helping people is because relationships take work. Okay. So that's hard enough. But then when you have to deal with the whole family. So is there anything in particular that you say to couples when there's problems in the extended family expectations, in the dysfunction that's around them?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that I would think to shoot out. The first one is that we have a rule, my husband and I, if there's something that happens where my family has created some faux pas, I deal with it because you know what? They have more unconditional love for me. They're going to get mad, but they'll forgive me. If his family commits the faux pas, then he handles it. That's the first thing. Second thing I think is when there's just unhealthy dynamics, you need to learn how to create space, right? And so you don't have to physically separate from someone, meaning I never see them, but you can create emotional distance. And so that might mean physically separating, that you don't go to all family gatherings, or you limit the contact, and you give yourself that time instead to inculcate the truth that you need for you to grow on and become healthier or stronger. But then if you need the emotional distance, like say it's for Christmas or whatever, and you have to be around them, you create that emotional distance. And this is what that looks like. It looks like I say hello, I'm civil to everyone, but I don't get into intimate conversation. I don't share anything really about what I'm doing, how I feel. It's just very surface talk and it's very brief. Mm-hmm. So that you can kind of create boundaries for yourself that no one has to give you permission to create, right? Mm-hmm. So it's creating those boundaries. I just wanted to say that I think that family issues can really harm a relationship. As you shared, Doctor, it's, you have already the issues surrounding your own relationship, but then to also have family garbage dumped on top of you, it's just almost stifling. Mm-hmm. And I think that the benefit to family is this: we get the opportunity to look at people that share our genetic code and to decide, see their life as it's now at different stages and determine if we want ours to be the same. And then also make a commitment that we will not do the things. Now think about what I'm saying. You share the same genetic code. Mm. I'm talking about your DNA. Mm. You know, birds of a feather flock together, fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. So I'm saying that you have the propensity, the proclivity to be very much like the people that are in your family. Your parents, your aunts, your uncles have made decisions. They've lived their life. They've made some decisions. Now you have the ability to stand far off and to see what some of those decisions led them to. But you have to be careful lest you walk that same way. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard people say, oh, my mom used to say you're going to be just like your dad. That's negative. But in there is buried a truth. Interned in that negative statement is a truth. I think in life, God gives you the ability to see yourself in your future as you look at your relatives. They're like you. You have propensities that are going to be similar to a lot of them. And you can decide. Think about your parents. You know, I remember looking at my parents and thinking, they're pretty good, but I didn't agree with the way they did this. So when I get married and I have my kids, I'm not going to do that. You know, but the problem is it's very difficult to create. It's impossible to create anything you've not seen. So here's what happens. You'll say you'll never do it, and then you find yourself saying the same thing your parents said, doing the same things your parents did. And what is the solution? You must surround yourselves with people that you can look at and witness them living a different life, mm-hmm. you know, employing different skill sets until they become inculcated within you. And then they become a part of who you are.
Brilliant. Yes.
I wrote down a couple the typical stumbling blocks. It used to be where you're going to run into trouble is disagreements over politics, religion, finances, things like that. Are there some real landmines that you've noticed that are other than those ones that I mentioned that can really, you have to be really careful when you get in that area?
I'm going to reverse it on you. Okay. Not talking about sex. Okay. Not talking about suitably handling disagreements. Those are no-nos. Other than that, everybody's talking about politics nowadays. So I'm wondering whether that we've outgrown that one now.
Yes.
You know, maybe if we went back to observing it, the Dems and the Republicans can get along better, right?
Yeah.
We can just eat our turkey, you know, on Thanksgiving and stop talking about all that stuff.
Yes, exactly. Well, we are just about out of time, and I want to make sure that everybody can figure out how to get your free gift, how to get in touch with you, especially that wonderful marriage. It's a conference.
Retreat. So what I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for your listeners and for your viewers. Okay. Those that want to come, I'm going to take the first, 25 of them, couples. So that would be 50 couples. People, or singles. I'm going to allow them to come free of charge. Wow. So it's at a four or five star resort. And as a matter of fact, now, doctors, you guys are invited as well. It's going to be in Orlando at the Rosen Resort. And I'm thinking, as long as they complete, I'll have work for them to do. Mm-hmm. Some learning. It's going to be fun. It's going to be some video lessons that I want them to complete. So those that reach out to me and complete that, I'm going to register them free of charge. The only fee that we're asking them to pay for it would be the resort fees. I think they're $35 a day, and it's mm-hmm. a two-day event. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like $200 a night. We're paying for all of that. I'm going to pay for it. They'll just have to complete their... So if you're a struggling couple or if you're a struggling single, you say, listen, Dr. Jackie, I've had these relationships. I want to get married, and I just can't get it together. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Or if you're in a relationship, you're wanting to get married, you look like you found the right person, you just want to make sure that you lay a good foundation so that you can go the distance. Or you're in trouble in your relationship or your marriage, this is going to be for you. So the first 25 couples or singles or so that reach out, I'm going to give them the opportunity to complete the information, and then I'm going to enroll them free of charge to come to that retreat in Orlando. Wow. And as a matter of fact, our banquet is going to be at Ruth's Chris.
Wow.
Again,
I'm very generous of you to do that.
That is incredible. That is incredible. Yes. And so, Thomas, will you show our email? Because we want our listeners to email us so we can get their names to Dr. Jackie. If you would like to take advantage, this is an incredible offer, to go to contactnrshow@gmail.com. If you're listening and not looking at the screen, it's contact N as in new, R as in reality, show@gmail.com. And just put in the subject line, I want to go to Dr. Jackie. And we will get your name and information to her. That is incredible. The other thing that you were offering, Dr. Jackie, is your free gift, 5 Keys to a Healthy Marriage. It's a PDF document. So if you would like that, I think Thomas is trying to get the picture. There we go. Mm-hmm. You can also email us at contactnrshow@gmail.com, and we will get that to you as well. And oh my goodness, Dr. Jackie, this hour just flew by. And
it really did.
Really incredible. Thank you so much for being with us.
We were able to get you onto the show. This is just exactly the kind of guest that we love to have. You make so much good come into people's lives that wasn't there before.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to be with you guys.
Really good.
All right. Well, with that, next week, we're going to be talking about your brain and how you can optimize your brain for peak performance. And that'll be just myself and Dr. Art, but we're always entertaining, aren't we?
We think that we're fascinating.
Yes, we do.
See, you've already done what I said. You were in love with yourself. That's a wonderful thing. Now it's easy for anybody else to love you.
Well, you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, Dr. Jackie and Dr. Art. And yes. I guess with that, audience, you have a wonderful weekend too. Don't forget to write us if you'd like to take advantage of Dr. Jackie's incredible offer. So with that, good night, everybody.
Good night. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/newrealityshow for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.